to the course Shabbat Rosh Hashanah. That kind of missed your attention by now. The Torah portion was Bereshit 21, our traditional one, 1 to 12. The Haftarah was 1 Samuel, Shmuel Aleph 1, 1 to 10. And for the Messianic writings, the first letter to the Jewish community in Thessalonica. And that was chapter 4, 13 through to 18. Isn't it interesting? Our reading for Rosh Hashanah to do with Avraham and Yitzhak, we go right back to the beginning, effectively, of where Judaism begins. Yes? Yes?
Yes.
Nah, trick question. It is. Sort of, isn't it? Yeah? Because we have an issue, I think, sometime with all of this. I want to just put it to you. The scriptures talk about this evening, this day that has just begun, as what? What is the name of today? Rosh Hashanah, did someone say? Someone else want to have a go? Yom Teruah. The day of the blowing of the shofar, which we will hear in a moment, okay? We will do. We're going to get to it very, very shortly. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, and yet, is it? And what's that got to do with Avraham and Yitzhak and the beginning of Judaism? And what is this all about when you begin to put it all together? The day of the blowing of the shofar. Because the scriptures, let's remind ourselves before we get carried away in thinking this is the wonderful new year of 5778, and I'm not saying it isn't, bear with me. But what does the scripture say? What does the Torah say in all of this? The month of Nisan is the first month of our counting. True or false, yes? No matter how much debate has gone on with all of this, Nisan is the beginning of the year. That much is clear from the Torah, and yet now here we are, a Rosh Hashanah, and we're calling it the new year. Why this as new year? Where did we even begin to get this understanding from? And this is not the evening to go into the maths of it, because there are maths to go with it and dates and everything, and the rabbis have worked it out. It is possible and so on. That's not actually what I want to focus on, because we started with the question this evening, what has the beginning of Judaism got to do with Rosh Hashanah and the bigger picture of what Rosh Hashanah is all about? Because Rosh Hashanah celebrates what? Yesterday was 5777. Today is 5778. So what are we celebrating at Rosh Hashanah?
Creation.
That means on a conservative view of the scriptures, and it may be true, of course it may be a little bit more than that, but let's just take the numbers as they are for this evening. Creation was 5,778 years ago, right now. This is when it all began. In fact, actually, according to the rabbis, it was a week ago because they count from the Shabbat, but I'm not going to go there right now. But let's just ask the question. If we are celebrating this evening, Rosh Hashanah, about the beginning of creation, here is a profound question for you. How Jewish is this celebration? You liking the questions already? Good. Right? Because it's an interesting question, isn't it? If Rosh Hashanah celebrates the creation of the world, then who should be celebrating this evening?
Everyone
should be celebrating. In fact, the whole world should be in here. Well, not all of them in, you're right. You know what I mean? That'd be a little bit of a tight squeeze. But you know, every single human being right now on this evening should be acknowledging their creator. That's a fact. That is what Rosh Hashanah is truly all about when you think about it in that way. This evening begins the concept of creation, God's work in all of that. If anything, Rosh Hashanah belongs to all humanity. And yet it's quite interesting we put it together in this way, because the core message that we have in all of this that run through Rosh Hashanah again and again and again. What do we say about blessings? Baruch atah Adonai Melech Haolam. Oh. Why don't we say Melech HaIsrael? Huh? King of the universe? King of the worlds? Blessed art thou, Lord our God, who is the King of everything? The King of the whole world? The universe? Hang on a minute, we were just talking a moment ago, Rosh Hashanah is all about the birth of Yitzhak. It's Avraham and his descendants. To your descendants I'm going to give this. This is what Judaism is all about. Hang on, Judaism, Rosh Hashanah, yet King of the world? belongs to everyone, how on earth are we going to put this together? Because it's fascinating when you begin to see it in this way. And we know God is the God of Israel and is also the God of the whole universe. If he's not, then there's a problem. If God is only the God of Israel, then you know what, to be saved, you've got to get up your sticks and go to Israel, live in Jerusalem, and then you'll be born again. In fact, there were people in the first century saying that, of course, as we understand and know from the book of Acts, and they were wrong. Why were they wrong? Because the scriptures categorically state that God is the God of all nations, the whole world, the universe, the furthest star, and right down to the smallest atom in your lungs breathing right now. God is God of it all. Praise God! You should be shouting. That's awesome. Yeah, and yet when we think about it in this way, we're just used to seeing it as a Jewish festival. Because what do we do? What, tomorrow? We're going to get apples up with honey, yeah? We're going to dip our apples in the honey. All very parochial, very particularistic, it's all about this. All makes really good Judaism, it's wonderful identity markers in there, all of this. And yet, the core message of all of this is there is a purpose behind us being particular. We are particular so God can be universal. Think of it this way. God has called us as a nation because as a nation we are his people, and it's not that we then go, oh, isn't this wonderful, and start some Davidic dance and go round and round the Torah going thing, it's for us, it's for us, for us, and God is saying, no, take it out. Rosh Hashanah is about evangelism. Rosh Hashanah is about outreach. Rosh Hashanah gets right into our tuchus and says, you know what, there's a reason for this. This is why our religion, our faith, if you like, Judaism, begins at this very moment, because its purpose is to touch every single person out there. What did Yeshua say? Great commission at the end of it. He said, go out into all the world and teach them everything I have taught you. Make Talmudim, train them up in the ways of Adonai, the only God. God is one. Yes, amen? He is the only God. Amen? That means, guess what? If every single person wants to worship God, who have they got to worship? Him. Our God. Because there isn't anyone else. They've got to come to the God of Israel, who is equally the God of the universe. He's got to come to both. If he's going to worship in this way, that's what every single human being has to do. And of course, it created massive debates over the centuries. In the Talmud and elsewhere, records of all of this going backwards and forward, particularly between rabbis Yehoshua and Eliezer. Yehoshua was a particularist, Eliezer was a universalist, and it comes down to, of course, the fact, is the first of the year in Nisan, or is it now in the first of Tishrei, and so on, and they went backwards and forwards, and you know what eventually won in all of this? Who won out in all of this? The one who was the universalist. Why? Because we call it Rosh Hashanah. We know who won that debate. It's recorded for us who won it. Why? Why did that rabbi win that debate? That Rosh Hashanah, despite the fact that the scriptures say, and we know, go back to what it says in Nisan, it says, this is the beginning of the year to you. Yeah, that's what the Torah says. As you start that month and you run through to Nisan, but there's two words in that sentence which is absolutely critical. Did you spot where they were? This is the beginning of the year to you. And that's why the rabbi won. Because the beginning of the year for creation, he says, is Rosh Hashanah. This is the beginning when God moved upon all humanity, created all humanity, but in our particular calling as Jews, God says to us, to you, the beginning of the year will be in Nisan at Pesach. Why is that such the case for us? When do our prophetic festival lists begin? When does that Leviticus 23 begin? Leave Shabbat aside for one moment. What's the first one up in our year? Passover. That's important for us. Why? Because as Jews at that point, at Passover, our salvation year, our redemption year begins with Passover and runs all the way through to the autumn festival, Simchat Torah, the final in gathering of all the nations, the joy that comes out of all of that, and it runs all the way through. For us, it begins in Passover because we have a message to take out to the rest of the world. That's why it's for us, the beginning of the year. For the rest of the world, the beginning of the year is tonight. Because it remembers all the way back to creation. This is the night every single human being should bend the knee before the Lord God and acknowledge, you are my creator. I am under you. But equally, that reminds us that every single human being is therefore what? Made in the image of God. And it takes us back to this age-old debate that's run through Judaism. I've mentioned it time and time again in the last few months, and I keep on going on about this because it is really, really important. This universal aspect that is hidden away, as it were, in Judaism, it is there. It's hidden in our particularity, but it is deeply there. This universal trend that runs through. If all people are made in the image of God, if all people, as Shaul says, if all people have fallen short of the glory of God, not just Jews, it's Jewish people aren't the only ones who've sinned on this planet. Every human being has sinned on this planet. And therefore the redemption of salvation in Yeshua must be available to every single human being on this planet. If not, it would be a parochial salvation, and then you would have to up sticks and move to Jerusalem and live there, and you say, yes, I'm in Israel now, now I can worship the God of Israel, now I can receive his salvation. But Rav Shaul knows full well, he's got this, he knows Judaism is bigger than all of this. That's why we begin with our reading, the tensions that are all the way through there. Yes, in some senses, Rosh Hashanah, we go back, we remind ourselves of our calling through Abraham and Yitzhak. We go all the way back to that prophetic calling. God has called us for a purpose on this evening, but it's not just for us. It's for the whole world. And we don't know how much time we've got. We do not know how much time we have left. There are many who believe that the clock is ticking so rapidly at the minute that we could be seeing Yeshua coming back very, very shortly. I don't know. Well, we're not going to speculate, neither are we going to pin it down. One thing we do know is that time is running out. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. And we see it again and again. It runs all the way through Rosh Hashanah. I haven't got time to go into the depths of it. Maybe we'll discuss it over lunch tomorrow. But I just want to give you one little hint about this. The prophets, when they're writing, Isaiah, Malachi, all the rest of them, Micah, you know all of these. The prophetic run all the way through, saying again and again and again, my temple will be a house of prayer for all nations. And many other verses and quotes we could marshal at that point. You know the verses. This is meant to be for a purpose, and the prophets are saying again and again, you've got to get out there. Jonah, one of our biggest, how should we put this, evangelists in many ways, of ancient times within Israel. He was one who went out to Nineveh, to the pagans, to preach the gospel. And what did they do? They repented. And God had mercy. And of course, it's no coincidence that we bring Jonah in at the festivals, Yom Kippur and through, and it's not a coincidence that we do this. We have a message and a purpose and a calling. Not just the prophets. There was a man who wrote one of the most powerful prayers that we have in our liturgy. I want to bring it in for Yom Kippur, so talk a bit about it. Written by a man in the 6th century. Living in total isolation. It's a prayer called Uvachen in Hebrew, and it is one of the most powerful, incredible prayers written as part of our liturgy at our High Holy Days. His inspiration was the prophets. His inspiration in all of this was this theme of Jewish universalism that runs all the way through, where again he was praying at this time, Lord God, bring the nations in. He lived in complete isolation. He never travelled, apparently, according to tradition, he never even travelled further than the next village in all his life. And yet, he wrote this most powerful, inspiring prayer of our liturgy, Uvachen, which comes in through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which rises in a crescendo to say, ultimately, all the nations will come and worship you, O God. This was written at a time of persecution, at a time when the nations hated us, and yet he knew in his spirit, the person who wrote this, this is what Judaism is all about. It was not just about us. It has a purpose, God's call and a plan in all of this. Of course, this writer didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't understand how it was going to happen. He believed it would. We have one big advantage, don't we, in this day? How does all of this happen? Yeshua. The mystery of the ages, which is revealed 2,000 years ago. The bit, again, that was hidden all the way through Judaism. The man of promise all the way down from Abraham's descendant comes all the way through this man who was promised of Adonai. Yeshua Mashiachinu. The reality of all of this is that through him and him alone, what begins as this Jewish yearning in the spirit and an understanding that, you know, this faith that we have is not just for us, ultimately reaches forward to Mashiach and his salvation and his redemption. And then he says to the people, now get out there and complete the job for which I have called you. As Jews, get out there and tell the world. Because it's not just about us. Every other faith that you... I mean, I'm not a great religious person on that one, the other faith. Go back and check it. Google it. Do what you want. Go back and find what they begin with. They begin with a founder, whether their birth or something else. That's what they begin with. If Judaism was true to the pattern of religion in this world, it would begin with the birth of Abraham. But it doesn't. Judaism begins. Bereshit. Bara Elohim. That's when it begins. In the beginning, God created. This is the greatest story, the ultimate story that was ever, ever told. It begins with God in his heart, with his love and passion, wanting to show his love to people and pouring it out and creating human beings who then turned around and slapped him proverbially in the face. And ever since, God's plan, his narrative through history, as to bring salvation, and seeing through Noah, and you know the story, all the way through to Abraham, people who would respond in faith, and so he kept on going, because God's love never ends. He didn't give up. And so in his universal view of wanting to love every human being, bring every human being back into that relationship with him again, in the midst of this universalism, he creates this particularism, this little island called Israel and the Jewish nation and people, way beyond the ken of anyone else to think how God was going to do this. And then uses that particular again to reach out to the universal. Try and understand this. Because both of these run all the way through our faith. What are we saying through this? We have a task. We have a calling. You might have thought that this evening I was going to stand here and talk a bit about repentance and how you're all sinners, and we've said that, we've done that, we're praying this, we've been praying this the last month, you know this is true, we'll continue to do it through the next 10 days. I want to throw something at you this evening which doesn't normally happen at this time of year. We have a mission. When we stop telling people about Yeshua, we begin to die inside. When we stop sharing our faith, we begin to die inside. When we lose that zeal and joy for Yeshua, we begin to die inside. Speak to your neighbours, speak to your colleagues, so they may throw it back in your face. I guarantee you though, when you get back in your little prayer room back at home, and you're lifting that person up in prayer, and Yeshua will say to you, good and faithful servant, well done. We're not looking for the praise of men. Those days are gone. If they were ever there, they are gone. Trust me, they are gone. The way this world is going, they are finished. We have a purpose and a calling and a task. I want to encourage you not only to be repenting in the next 10 days, I want to encourage you, refocus your mind, get back into the habit again of speaking to people, reaching out, using that outreach which the Lord gives you. All those opportunities, I don't believe he's not giving them to you, I'm sure he is. Don't be shy. We have a purpose and a calling. Judaism is to bring life, the life of Adonai, to people on this planet, not only to Israel, but to every single human being. Amen? That is our task. And Rosh Hashanah reminds us of all of this. The particular and the universal juxtaposed back to back. It's for us, and yet it's for all. And we need to keep the two together, focus on the two together. And if we do that, we'll win back that joy. We will know the joy. We will know the purpose of our calling, the reason of our task, which is to bring all of humanity, all of creation, groaning at this moment in time, groaning, waiting to see the sons of redemption revealed. You know the verse, yeah? All of creation groaning. Why? Because sin has corrupted everything. Creation itself can't wait to be released from what we have unleashed upon it. That's our calling, it's our task. I want us to rise up, to listen to what Adonai will say to us, to rise up and take that task seriously. It's who we're meant to be. Amen.